as I said to you earlier today, I'm going to be having Susan Templeman in the studio with me, and we're going to be chatting about what Susan's been doing. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Good morning. It's very exciting to be here on your first day.
It is. It's exciting for me as I get all this technology and I go, oh, my God, am I doing it? Well, no, if I don't, because no one will hear our conversation except us, so that doesn't really matter. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you because I noticed that you've been going around and looking at holidays in the Hawkesbury, and it's really important at the moment because apart from the fact we have the COVID and everyone's not really going interstate or anything, it's important for telling the people around about the holidays, but even our own selves, we don't realise what's in our own backyard, do we?
No, you're right. And there's so many beautiful places, and you tend not to holiday in your own backyard. You know, most of us tend to jump in a car or a plane, and of course that is really limited at the moment. So you know, a couple of the things we've tried to do with COVID, the first thing we did was create Macquarie Marketplace, just a Google map where businesses could say what was open. So that was something little we could do to support local businesses in that first stage of COVID. Then we set up on Spotify and YouTube the Macquarie Mixtape. Now that was to support musicians in the Hawkesbury and the Blue Mountains.
That's great.
And there's now 3 hours of local musicians on a Spotify list called Macquarie Mixtape that people can use. And that does a tiny little bit to support our local musicians. And so the third thing we looked at, my team and I, was how do we encourage people to go to the places they don't know about? We know about picking apples and eating apple pie at Bilpin, and but there's a lot of other places to explore in the Hawkesbury. So that's what it's been about. And look, it is, I just say to people, it's one extra little thing that happens that might be the trigger to make someone curious about finding more out about Ebenezer, for instance. You know, Ebenezer is not the top of your list necessarily for a quick visit, let alone to go and stay there. And that's the other thing we're really trying to do, is say to people, don't just go for a day or an afternoon. Go and stay, and the accommodation people would love you to stay midweek.
most definitely. But, you know, I agree with what you're saying. Many years ago, I used to do some work for the Richmond Women's Cottage, and once a year I held a car rally. And I would have to go out beforehand and have a look at what's around to put on my list of questions. And my God, it was so open. I didn't realise there was so much going on.
Yeah, one of the first visits we did was to Ebenezer and to Tizana Winery and had a lovely talk. I mean, a beautiful place to stay, just a gorgeous area to explore. And at different times of the year, there are different things on, whether it's orange picking, you know, depending on the season. But they're the sort of places that you don't really get a feel for in an hour.
No.
You kind of have to go and explore, and they reveal themselves to you slowly. And, you know, you might take a wrong turn and find a gorgeous part of the river.
Well, that's exactly right,
And, look, one of the things I'm really conscious of as the member for Macquarie is that I represent all of the Hawkesbury and all of the Blue Mountains. So my message has also been to mountains people, come and explore the Hawkesbury and vice versa. You know, the Blue Mountains is more than the three sisters.
Well, the thing is, we're neighbours, really. So, I mean, as you say, that's your electorate. And I think, and I've heard this so many times, that you say to someone to go to Penrith or to go somewhere and they go, oh, my God, pack lunch, I will never do that. But if they looked at that experience as, you know, they'd get in a car and maybe go to the beaches, well, get in the car and go to the mountains. And as you said, look at all the little things up in the mountains. Like, there's so much.
Yeah, look, one of the most beautiful places to spend, and, you know, an extended long weekend is the Megalong Valley. Oh,
yes, I've got you there.
You know, you've got a couple of wineries to visit. You've got horse riding. There's lovely walks. You feel a million miles away, yet you've only travelled, you know, maybe an hour and a bit from here.
That's right.
And the same with Upper Colo, same and Colo Heights, the same message to mountains people. You know, people in Glenbrook and Winmalee might not have explored that part of the world. It's really hard to do just as a day outing. It's much better to plan to, you know, use one of the accommodation providers there and stay and explore, get the local knowledge about where to go, what walks to do. You know, in summer, be somewhere where you can borrow Lilos and Lilo down the river.
Oh, camping by the river, that's up there at the Colo, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, my message is whatever you do, support the local businesses and do it in a sympathetic way. Mm. You know, some communities are feeling really inundated with day trippers and short visit tourists at the moment. Mm. And so, you know, we don't always have the facilities for those sorts of visitors. Mm. So we are finding that people are going onto private land when they shouldn't.
Okay.
So, you know, let's spread the visitors out and spread out the time of the week.
Yeah,
that there.
And I think you do that by the fact of actually, as you said, telling people what's around and letting them not, like, I know about the camping at Colo, so yeah, I go there. A lot of people go there. But when you said the wineries down the Meglong Valley, I know horse riding. I did not know about wineries down there.
There's two wineries. One's Dry Ridge Estate and the other's Meglong Creek.
Wow.
And they are, I'm drinking Pinot Grigio from one of them at the moment. And they really have a small but lovely range of wines. Yeah. And they're really open to people coming and spending the afternoon, on a Saturday or Sunday or making an appointment to head there. Mm. There are lots of things. And I think we've taken the tourism we have a bit for granted.
Yeah.
Tourism is actually, the support for tourism happens at a state level.
Yeah.
So there's limited things that the federal government can do. But, for instance, one of the ideas that's come up for Bilpin is to have revive a 20-year-old plan for a visitor's centre at Bilpin.
Oh, wow.
Now, about 12 months ago, council raised this issue with the state government again. Some local people in Bilpin revived the plan, went to council, and council had discussions or got it on the agenda with the state government, but nothing's happened.
Mm.
And, of course, the fires has been another opportunity to kick that along.
Mm.
There's actually $448 million of federal funding available to help bushfire-affected communities invest in infrastructure.
Mm.
And it is not a big ask for us to get, 10 or 20 million of that to really think about what sort of facility could we have on the Bells Line of Road that looks at World Heritage. World Heritage is 20 years old this year.
Mm.
How do you find out about World Heritage on the Bells Line of Road? Mm. Well, you don't till you get to Mount Tomar.
Mm.
And even that that's not its sole purpose at Mount Tomar.
Mm.
You know, how do people find out about how the bush recovers from fire?
Yeah, totally.
You know, what a great opportunity to access some of this funding, which is available right now.
So does the community get together and jointly go in as a united force to that, and they just go to their local council and say it? I mean, hearing that, I'm sure that it'd be very frustrating for the people in that area of, well, what do we do? Like, how can we make it happen?
Well, I think you have to be really careful how you do it. It needs all three tiers of government to be supportive, and council has certainly voted to explore the idea. Mm.
Yeah.
So that's great that council, having a year ago raised it with the state government, it's great that they've finally said, oh, well, let's maybe look at some detail on it.
Yeah.
Because the other, and so a key tier of government with this funding is the state government.
Mm.
Federal government has provided the funds, but the state and councils are the ones who will, apply for it.
Yeah.
So we really need the state government and the state member on board with this. Mm. But you also need to bring the community with you.
That's right.
Because while the businesses will instantly see the opportunity, there'll also be issues that it raises around traffic, around the flow of movement in the area.
And it can be a catch-22, can't it?
That's exactly right. So you have to do it and make sure you're addressing all the issues to everyone's satisfaction.
Mm.
But there is an opportunity to explore it and to see whether something can be done. You know, I remember going to, the first time I went to Darwin, I went to the Darwin Museum and Gallery, and you can walk into a little exhibition within that gallery and you can get an experience of Cyclone Tracy.
Okay.
And it's old technology, it's some noise and information, but what strikes me is, while we don't want to give people an exact experience of what it's like to be in a fire, what we could do is give people a taste of the ferocity of a bushfire and then the recovery and how the bush comes back. So there's, look, there's, with technology,
the people,
there's
how they, but how the people come back. And I mean, you first-handedly experienced that, I know, in 2013. But I think it's important, as you say, for giving that feeling, that the hearing and using all your senses, because you develop empathy then.
Yeah. And the other opportunity, and locals have suggested this, is that it's is used as a base for koala rescue or koala research. Yep. So, look, there are a wealth of possibilities. It was originally designed to be the offices for the National Parks and Wildlife, and who knows if that is still an appropriate role for it. But when it was... a competition was done 20 years ago, a design was selected, a fairly, you know, sustainable sort of design. Obviously, 20 years on, everything needs updating.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of thing, and to have a proper strategy, tourism strategy for that area. And then you can, you know, so they're the sorts of tourism opportunities. What I'm doing with Holiday at Home, which is every Labor member is doing this in their own electorate, if they've got, you know, things that are appropriate for it, is saying to people, yep, there's some really well-known areas, but there's some other lesser-known areas. So let's go exploring. And look, I think what we're seeing is a huge reaching out by people in Sydney and around New South Wales, because certainly accommodation is getting booked.
Well, look,
so we're, you know, so far we're doing well. We really need that to continue, particularly beyond the next school holidays.
Yeah, and I think that as the borders close, and as they have, that, I mean, it's, well, it's putting boundaries in, definitely, but it's making us be resourceful. So by doing this, what's around the place and the holidays that we have, I mean, when you look at it, like, I know you've been up to Blackheath as well. So what's around Blackheath?
Oh, Blackheath's, look, it's got that beautiful village feel, and there's gorgeous homewares shops, there's cafes to sit in, there's antiques to look at.
A good knick-knacky place.
Fabulous. There's, so the shops, you know, if you like shopping, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
But even more than that, it's the being able to stay in a place that really feels the seasons.
Yeah.
You know, it's cooler in summer. It's certainly chillier in winter. And it
snowed
there yesterday.
Yes.
Not a lot, but a little bit.
That's okay.
But also the bush walks. Yeah. Even if you just do the gorgeous walk down from Govett's Leap, there is the most fantastic loop that takes about an hour. And because of the fires, the escarpment that you're looking across at is much more visible in the Grose Valley.
Oh, it would be now,
Stunning, absolutely stunning. Yeah.
Great photography.
Oh, there must be some incredible photos taken. Yeah. And there's the other thing about Blackheath is the galleries. There's beautiful galleries. There's always an exhibition on at the down at Govett's Leap.
Yeah.
But art galleries to look at, you know, lots of things to take home.
And there's lots of bed breakfasts around too. I mean, even going down into Megalong Valley, there'd be a few down there, wouldn't there?
The Megalong Tea Rooms is the is the stop you do there. I think everyone's been there. And of course, at weekends it can get really busy. And with social distancing, you've got to be patient.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's why going midweek is another great way to do it.
I agree with you. And I mean, the way that we're going through the life experiences we are now with COVID, it actually opens up opportunities for a lot of people to be able to do midweek. So to take that advantage and not have the crowds, even though we can't be crowded, you know, it's a win-win in some ways. So Wiseman's, good old Wiseman's Ferry.
Wiseman's and St Albans.
Yes.
You know, for me, they go together.
They do.
You don't go to St Albans without a stop at Wiseman's.
Yeah.
And the, you know, there's fantastic milkshakes at the grocers at Wiseman's.
Yeah.
And right next door is the Ferry Artist Gallery. Now, this is a gallery that is run by the artists. They make it happen. They volunteer and work there. And I've been really privileged to open many exhibitions there.
Yeah.
Very eclectic group of work
that
comes from all over that part of the world. That is it's an incredible place and amazing that the artists have been able to sustain it through, you know, some really tough economic times up to and including now.
It shows a really good community, doesn't it, when it's so supportive like that.
Yeah, and St Albans, of course, you've got the Settlers Arms.
Yes.
I was lucky enough to head up and have lunch there on Friday. Mm. And beautiful accommodation. Mm. One of the really lovely ones is the courthouse. Now, I haven't stayed there, but I got a lovely look through it the other day, and it gives you the most beautiful view of the river. It's the courthouse, of course, had jail cells.
Yeah.
So it's got this incredible, they've converted the jail cell into one of the bar, or the bathrooms are in each of the jail cells, and they overlook the prisoners' exercise area.
Yeah.
So you are in something that's been there for 200 years nearly. Yeah.
And it's incredible. So, you know, I like it because it's so different. It's so different to what people do as this usual tourism thinking of, you know, we'll go to the beach or we'll go into Darling Harbour and these things that are the ones that pop first into your mind. And I believe that this building awareness is so important for the Hawkesbury and the community. But as you said, I mean, the jail, I mean, what a lovely experience for a family to do with their children and to give their children some just good, honest history, you
know? That's right.
Which we miss.
And that is what you get in the Hawkesbury. Now, I'm not suggesting that people aren't going to want to travel outside the New South Wales borders when borders are open.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are going to be lots of opportunities for people to have shorter holidays closer to home. And that's when, rather than heading way out west or heading up and down the north or south coast, it'd be fantastic to say, why don't we look at not having to travel too far in a car?
Yeah.
No, not having the kids say, are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
But saying to the kids, hey, look, we're here and it's only taken us a little while to get here.
God.
But you feel a million miles away.
Yeah. Are we there yet? Reminds me, five kids in my car going, we're there yet? We're there yet? Oh, my God, I'm glad they're grown now. We'll karma back to them. We'll see. But anyway, you got a busy week this week, have you?
Well, I was meant to be in Parliament this week.
Oh, okay.
And so that's disappointing that we can't be doing the things we should do down there, which is questioning the government and holding them to account. A lot of things are avoiding scrutiny. So in lieu of that, yes, I will be flat out in the community,
around
meeting people, you know, doing the problem solving. We've got a lot of people that we're helping through ATO issues, NBN, real problems in Bowen Mountain at the moment with Telstra, and no NBN yet, although we had a bit of a win, and it looks like most of that area is going to get its NBN connected by the end of this month rather than
good.
December, as was originally talked about. So, but they're the ongoing things and plenty of opportunity to get out and give people the simple suggestion of wearing face masks when they go to the supermarket.
Yes. And it's not, I think that people really have to realise that this is a small inconvenience for health.
Yeah, I was at Richmond Marketplace just across the road on Saturday morning, and a bunch of people already had masks, but I would say 90% of people who didn't were very happy to take them before they went into Woolworths.
Yeah.
All the Woolworths staff are wearing them, and Woolies has done the right thing and said to its staff, let's try and encourage this.
By example,
so we got out and helped encourage them as well. There was a fantastic take-up. So I think it's helping people get used to the idea. And cloth ones are great. You can find those around now, or the disposable ones, which you can wear now, they say, for, you know, a day or so when you need it.
And I just want to add with that, Susan, is that with these masks that you put on, there is also a way to take them off so you keep yourself without contaminating your hands. Like I've said, I've seen people, and I've had people comment that they've seen people take the mask off and then put their hand into a packet of chips. Well, hello, sunshine, you've just contaminated it.
That's
so
right.
We need to keep the method of taking off very, very...
I think the message, the easy message, is sanitize.
Yes.
Be obsessive about washing your hands if you've got running water and warm water and soap nearby, or sanitizing.
Yeah.
You know, probably for the next who knows how long, you probably can't do that often enough.
Yeah.
And look, the more we do it and the more we reduce the spread, the more likely we are to have our local economy start to make some gains. And that's really what we need. We need people to be able to go to work, go to school.
Get back to whatever normal will be after this.
Indeed, the new normal.
Yes, the new normal of the 2020s or 2021s, whatever it will be. Look, thank you very much for coming on this morning. I really appreciate that you took the time to come and tell us all about it. Very interesting what you're doing with this holidays at home. I like that. And if anyone's got any ideas or we've missed something, I'm sure Susan'd love to hear about a place that could be a good place to go to.
Oh, there's so many more I know I want to do. But, yeah, I'd love all ideas. Can be something quirky, something that's not that well known. We'll be doing this for a little while to come.
Yeah, and we'll put it up on our Facebook and we'll share it over to you as well, Susan, and people can put their two cents in of what they think it should be.
Fantastic.
Thank you.